Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Every Tuesday we put your questions to our expert, and today we're joined in studio by advanced trichologist and hair specialist Claire Devereux, who is with me today. Claire, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea. How are you?
Not too bad at all, actually. There's tons and tons of questions coming in from listeners today about their hair and their scalp and quality, etc. We're going to try and get through as many as we can. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number if you want to send in a WhatsApp or your voice note. Maybe just before we do that, though, I want to talk to you about just in general hair health. Well, we don't pay the same level of attention to it as we do our skin, do we?
No, we don't. And I think it's time that we did, Andrea, because it really deserves it. And I think as well with holidays and everything coming up, people are really, they put so much focus on putting SPF on their skin and looking after it.
Yeah.
When actually their hair needs, it really needs the same care and the same TLC. So I think hair health is very important at the moment. I think the longevity of your hair is important at the moment. We're all talking about our longevity in our body, but our hair as well. Mm. You want to have good hair going forward. As you get older, you want your hair to still be fabulous. So you have to start looking after it.
Also, just when you mentioned that about sun cream, though, as well, your scalp is the other area.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people forget that they can get burnt on their scalp. Yeah. And when you think about it, right, your forehead is an extension right into your scalp. So think about it that way. So when you're on holidays, wear a hat. That's what I'm going to say to everybody. It can be a fashion accessory as well, Andrea, for both men and women. So wear a hat. But also you can use sunscreen. There are sunscreens available and they will go, you can put them on your scalp, particularly if you have a very wide parting. So for example, you know, if you've ever been in the sun, you have that center part and you come away and it's all red and it's very sore when it happens.
Yeah.
So protect it. Use an SPF. Use hydrating products when you're in the sun. Use like a nice leave-in conditioner when you're in the sun and bring a mask on holidays with you so you can put it in for 20 minutes at nighttime and your hair is not going to have the holiday blues when you come back.
Right. We're going to get through some of the listener questions.
Okay.
This texter says, want to ask about hair loss. I'm 40 years of age, a man. My hair is starting to thin on the top and my hairline is starting to recede. I don't know what to do. I was thinking about shaving it all off, but I think it might actually age me. So is there anything I can get that might thicken it up?
Okay, so first of all, it sounds like male pattern hair loss, which is very common. And yes, there are lots of things. But first of all, I would think you should get a consultation or talk to your GP before you just buy something over the counter, just to make sure that's what it is, you know, because a lot of things do decide whether it's actual male pattern hair loss or not. So I think, first of all, let's make sure if it is that, yes, there's lots of products that you can use over the counter. You've got to remember, though, when you're using these products, they will keep your hair, they will thicken up the density of your hair, like, for example, minoxidil or something. Will thicken up the density of your hair. It will bring blood to that follicle. But it's not going to magically just make your hair grow. Hair grows at only like a quarter of an inch a month. So it's a slow kind of growth. You have to have a bit of patience. And also, you have to be in it for the long game. It's like hair longevity. It's looking after your hair. So you have to be in it for the long game, because once you stop using those products, your hair is going to go back to the way it was before you started to use it. And you'll probably feel worse because obviously you'll get used to a little bit of a density. Because it keeps your hair in that holding phase. It keeps your hair in that growth phase for a little bit longer, and that's why those products make your hair feel a bit thicker. But I think an assessment professionally is always well worth it first,
before you start using the over-the-counter products. Okay, well, from a 40-year-old man to this listener who says, I had a baby 5 months ago and my hair is falling out. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid that I'm going to end up with no hair. It's all broken up around my hairline as well. Any advice for Lucy?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Lucy. Yeah. Congratulations. Because it's a hard time when you have a baby. You know, you're getting used to having the baby and then all of a sudden your hair is just going like this. So what happens is your hair, when you're pregnant, your hair is usually fabulous. Your hair doesn't shed. We usually shed anything between 80 and 100 hairs a day, Andrea. So every single day you mightn't even notice it in the shower. You know, when you brush your hair, all those hairs are always in that phase of shedding. So 85% of your hair is always in a phase of growing and resting. And what happens is when you're pregnant, your estrogen levels are very high. So your hair is fabulous. Most pregnant women feel their hair is fantastic. It's gorgeous. It's amazing. And then a couple of months like this, it's like any kind of stress on your body, your hair starts to go into its shedding phase. And that hair is going to come out. First of all, don't be scared. It's not going to get worse necessarily. I want to tell you there's light at the end of the tunnel. The hair, it has to shed. It's been in a holding phase now for a long time. So it's going to come out. And instead of 80 to 100 hairs a day, we're now rapidly losing those hairs. So we're losing hair at maybe 200 or 300 hairs a day, which is why you're starting to feel maybe your ponytail is thinner.
Yeah.
And it always kind of happens around around the hairline.
I notice that with friends. It is always around the hairline always. It starts to break.
Yeah, if things aren't bad enough, it's always around the hairline where everyone can just see it. So what I want to say is this is not just postpartum hair loss. This also is called telogen effluvium. It also happens if you've had maybe any stress, maybe you've had an operation a while ago, a fever, anything that's like a jolt to your body is going to cause your hair to actually, it upsets. Basically what it does is disrupts the hair pattern. So your hair then starts to shed. And what you need to do is, really and truly, if your baby, the birthday is coming around a couple of months, and when your baby turns one, that should have slowed down. So if your hair is still shedding and it's really bad and you're over a year after having your baby, then yes, you need to seek some medical attention. Go to your GP, get some bloods done, see if it might be an underlying condition. And once the underlying condition is sorted out, then your hair will start growing back properly again. But usually this is very, very normal. And what I would recommend is try to style your hair a little bit differently. Stay away from heat products. I think a lot of people try to style those straight little short bits around their hairline with a straightener. And what happens is that hair is very fragile, so it's going to break with excessive heat. So try to change your hair around. Yeah. Maybe change your parting. If you normally part your hair in one side and it's worse on that side, change your parting, and no heat is possible. Try to use rollers, things that are gentle overnight, you know, rollers, and also silk pillowcase is a brilliant thing to sleep on every night.
Does it actually work?
I swear, Andrea, it really, really does. I said this to you before, it really does. It works.
Silk pillowcase.
I'll tell you why it works. It's such a simple fix, because cotton tends to make your hair kind of all just like, you know, get very knotty, right, when you're moving around. Particularly if you're very warm. If you tend to be someone who has night sweats or someone who just is warm at nighttime with the good weather that we have, silk pillowcase is fantastic. Use one. It's fantastic. Wash it regularly, obviously. Have two of them on the go. And what it does, it's hypoallergenic. Your hair just slides over it. You won't wake up in the morning with your hair looking like you've been dragged through a bush backwards like most of us do. And it really helps with hair loss as well. It's really very gentle.
Sandra says her daughter is 3 years of age and her hair can get exceptionally knotty like that. She hates getting her hair washed, and brushing her hair every morning is a nightmare. Any tips to make it easier? The knots are building up and I don't want to have to cut her hair short.
Oh, I feel your pain, because my daughter had very long hair as well when she was very small. So first of all, I would say silk pillowcase, absolutely. A very gentle brush. I think if they don't like having their hair washed, which obviously if it hurts, and you can imagine if you're getting knots taken out of your hair and it's sore all the time, if you're very, very small, you're not going to like that. I don't think we like it when we're older either. So what I would say is try to make it a little bit of a playtime in the bath, and get all the tangles out first. Brush the tangles out first as gently as you can. Leave in a leave-in conditioner if possible, if that helps. And always work from the bottom up when you're taking out a knot. A lot of people go straight in with a comb and they try to get the knots out from the root. You've got to work your way up when it's a knot.
Those tangle brush, detangling brushes, are they?
Yeah, I find like a natural bristle brush to be the best, but also a wide tooth comb. Use conditioner when you wash the hair, and get the knots out when the conditioner is in the hair, because it'll make the hair softer and much, much easier. And don't ignore the knots. That's what I'm going to say, because they will build up and you will have to cut them out. So deal with it at the source.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number for your questions for Claire Devereux, advanced trichologist on the show today. This listener's baby is 2.5 years old, Claire, and still bald. Should I be worried?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't panic about it, but I would probably go and have the baby just assessed. Maybe have a chat with your GP about it for sure. It could be absolutely nothing. It could be just something very small, but I would get it checked, yes.
Checked out. Yeah. This listener is wondering, does taking creatine about 5 grams per day, could that in any way contribute to hair loss?
There's no studies to show that it does actually contribute to hair loss. There was one very small study done, I think it was on a bunch of rugby players, and obviously some of them were more predisposed to genetic hair loss, male pattern hair loss, and it did increase that way. So if you are more predisposed to that, perhaps you can notice that in a family history. If your father's hair, maybe, you know, he had bald spots with a receding hairline, you might be, you know, more inclined for your hair to go that way. So if you're taking it and you notice that, it's definitely worth maybe getting your bloods checked and have a chat with your doctor about it.
This texter is 76 and says they're about to tear their hair out, Claire. My hair is terribly dry. I've tried all kinds of lotions, creams, conditioning treatments, you name it, I've tried it. I'm wondering if perhaps it might have something to do with the medication that I'm taking. I have rheumatoid arthritis, among other medical issues. Any suggestions?
Well, first of all, don't tear your hair out. That's the first thing I'm going to say to you. There's always something that can be done. You've got to remember we produce more oil, less sebum as we get older. So you've got to remember that. And estrogen levels have gone down as well. So from that point of view, you're not getting that. So you really need to be getting treatments for your hair, maybe more medical treatments, more professional treatments. I would talk to a trichologist for sure, a certified trichologist, to make sure you're actually using the right plan for your hair. Because a lot of the time, it's a bit like having a personal trainer for your hair, Andrea. And it's like you need to have that plan in place and use the right products, because you could use things that just aren't working and you're using them over and over again and not getting a result. So you need to kind of start, go back to the beginning and talk to your doctor as well, because if it happened very suddenly, it could be a change in your medication as well. So if it's only happened very, very suddenly, so it's worth talking to a GP.
This listener's wondering, they're asking, is shampoo dye good for your hair? I wonder, do they mean, sorry, is dry shampoo good for your hair?
So generally, I'm not a massive fan of dry shampoo. I think it has its place. It can make your hair very dry and your scalp very itchy. It's fine if you just want to freshen up because you're going out from work and you just want, you haven't had time to wash your hair. But it's definitely not something to use every single day. It will cause more problems for you down the line than actually washing your hair, which obviously you should be doing regularly.
Yeah. How regularly? I know the last time we spoke, people were surprised.
I know that you don't like the answer. No one likes the answer, but truly you should be washing your hair every day if you want to have healthy hair, healthy scalp. I know that doesn't work for everyone. So there's not a one size fits all. Obviously, if you have thicker hair, you might want to wash every second day. I know some people are going to say, I don't wash it that often, but you really should, particularly when you're very warm, you're perspiring. If you work out in the gym or anything, you have all that, you know, sweat on your hair. It's not good. It's building up around your follicles and it's not helping with hair growth. And also if you have fine hair, I think a lot of people come to the clinic and they have finer hair and they say to me, you know, I don't like to wash my hair because it's shedding more or it's going to make it worse. Actually, it will make it better because any oil that's on your scalp, if your hair is finer, it's going to actually weigh your hair down. So actually your hair will have more volume, will look thicker if you wash your hair more regularly, and it's better for your scalp health.
This texter just wondering, after cancer treatment, they say that their straight grey hair is now growing back curly.
Yes.
Is it normal?
That is normal after chemo. Yeah, hair normally does grow back curly and that normally will change again in about a year's time. So enjoy the curls. Embrace
for
them.
For now. Flaky scalp around the ears and back of my head, says this texter, turns to greasy dandruff between washes. I'm wondering, what should I use? It's never usually this bad, not particularly itchy either. 18 months postpartum, winding down breastfeeding. I'm wondering, could it be connected?
So it sounds like seborrheic dermatitis, but again, I can't see you, unfortunately, in front of me.
Yeah.
So I would recommend, first of all, it's obviously a massive link between dandruff and seborrheic dermatitis. It's just a further on part of it, of the symptom. What I would say is you need to get that checked. You can't just self-diagnose that. So either go to see a trichologist, go and talk to your GP, because especially if it's around, you just say the ears as well, that needs to be checked because it may get worse. And sometimes it's got to do with diet as well. Obviously breastfeeding, it shouldn't affect if you're breastfeeding, but definitely diet can help if you're not getting enough nutrition and certain things like that as well.
This 21-year-old listener looking for suggestions to thicken up really fine hair.
Okay. Again, well, you can use volumizing shampoos. If your hair is naturally really fine, you've always had fine hair, you only get so many follicles. So if you have that, then you have to kind of learn how to style it different ways. There's a lot of products on the market that will help with thicken up your hair to make it look cosmetically better. But if it's something that you feel that's more medical, then again, you need to kind of come in and have a consultation so you can actually see what's going on in case the hair is actually shedding. But there's a lot of products for volumizing, from shampoos to uses to thickening sprays that will give that look of thicker hair.
If it's the cosmetic thing you're looking for. Is box dye bad for your hair? Asks this texter.
Yes, it is. That's all I have to say. No, it is bad. If you're going to colour your hair, you really need to go to a professional. I would never, ever recommend for anyone to use something that's just off the shelf. First of all, colourists trained for years, and I'm a colourist as well, and I've trained for years as a colourist, and I absolutely don't recommend anyone just to take something off a counter and put it on their hair, unless you're going to expect to get results that are not right. You're not going to get professional results. So do it properly. Have a proper consultation with somebody. And don't use a box dye.
You think, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I know some people are, you know, very good at doing it and have been doing it over the years. But as you say, there's professionals there as well, obviously, that you've experience in too. This listener says, I'm prone to very greasy hair. I'm wondering, is it down to diet or what can I do about it? I have to wash my hair every day.
Yeah, well, washing your hair every day is good. That's good. It can be down to diet 100%, and just some people just produce more sebum, which comes from your sebaceous glands at your follicle. So I would make sure you use, again, the right products, because if you're using products that are not going to kind of give you that texture, dry out that oil a little bit. Really, it's down to products with that and diet. Definitely diet can have a huge, huge say in it. You can go and have tests done as well just to check and see if you've an allergy to anything as well that's making you produce more oil. But it tends to be something usually used topically as well.
Texter looking for your thoughts on hair extensions. How bad are they or good are they for your hair? My daughter has them and I'm worried about the state of them.
I think hair extensions are fine once they're put in by somebody who's professional. I have no issue with that.
The maintenance of them, isn't it?
I think it's looking after them. If you're going to have hair extensions, always make sure sure you're going to somebody who is really good at doing them. Also make sure that you are in it for the long run, that you know that you have to look after them, that they aren't just going to sit there by themselves. You have to look after them really, really well. This is time has to come into
commitment.
But I think there's, once they're looked after properly and you don't leave them in too long, really they shouldn't be left in after 3 or 4 months. That's the longest for extensions. Obviously tapes are different because they have to come out every 6 weeks. So it depends on what method you have. But once you get them done professionally and you look after them yourself, I think that's fine to thicken up your hair there. It can be a great help for a lot of women.
Listeners going on a sun holiday says that her scalp gets quite sore and red. Is there anything else I can use besides a hat?
Okay, so first of all, again, yes, hats, great, but I definitely think an SPF would be a good idea. And there are a lot of scalp products out there with SPFs in them that
and
you can use.
And the sprays or, you know, even...
Yeah. And even use, listen, if you're really stuck, use your sunscreen from your face and just rub it along your scalp and kind of put it on through each line of your hair. Section your hair and put it through where your hair is finer or where your parting is and around your crown. And particularly for men, if your finer hair are balding in any way on the top, definitely use sunscreen.
Just on that, 45-year-old man has got in touch looking for, have you any solutions or suggestions to slowing down grey hair?
Well, this is one of those areas. They do say that there's certain things out there to slow it down, but a lot of the time it is got to do with aging. And we're just not producing the same amount of melanin in that follicle. So it's like everything kind of slows down a little bit. What you can do is obviously you could, you know, colour your hair if you wanted to, talk to a professional about that if you kind of wanted to do it before it's too noticeable, if you wanted to keep it very natural. But there's nothing really to slow it down. I know there's a lot of products that claim to slow things down, but... Really, I don't. I really feel that it's sometimes it's genetic as well. You know, if your mom or your dad went very grey very young, sometimes people go grey very young as well, you know.
Quite a few texts coming in, just in similar sort of vein. So maybe just to kind of summarise them into one. But people that are on Mounjaro medication, various different types of weight loss medications for a couple of months. They say they've noticed lately their hair is shedding quite a bit. I can't be sure that it's from the medication, but it has just started. It seems to have coincided with that timeline. Any advice or suggestions? Do I need to go back to the doctor?
Yeah, well, seeing a lot of this in the clinic at the moment, actually an awful lot of people on GLP-1 medication and their hair is shedding. Usually happens around the 4 or 5 month mark. And it's not the medication, Andrea. It actually is it's telogen effluvium, exactly what we talked about earlier with that shock to the system, even like postpartum. It's basically what's happening is... your body has lost weight very, very quickly and that shock to your system, and usually nutrition is at a huge core here, because what's happening is maybe you're not eating as much and possibly you're not eating as much protein, and obviously your hair is made from keratin, which is a protein. So you need to look at your diet. That's the first thing I'm going to say. Normally it might slow down as your body kind of gets used to the weight loss. If it's happened very quickly at first and now it's more steady, you might find that your hair starts to, that shedding kind of stops. So it's the same thing. It's telogen effluvium. It should start to slow down. If it doesn't, yes, absolutely talk to your healthcare provider, your GP, whoever is prescribing, and let them know. But it's not, as I said, the medication. It's a side effect of it, and it doesn't happen to everyone, but I am seeing a lot more
you're
of it.
You're actually seeing that in the clinic as well.
Absolutely.
Claire, we'll leave it there for the moment. Loads more questions coming in. We'll have to get you back again. Claire Devereaux, Advanced Trichologist and Hair Specialist. Claire, thanks a million for
joining
us here on the programme. Email if you want to get in touch is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.